While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. God's ways of doing things is very different than the way we think things must be done. Many times, when he does new things, we hope he does them according to how we want them to happen. But God is never guided by our ways, nor by the ways the world wants things to happen to us. God has his own way to get things done. And sometimes he's going to surprise us. Actually, not sometimes. I believe most of the time, God surprises us just with the simple fact that each morning we can open our eyes, we can breathe, and we can observe that there is a new opportunity. With this detail only, it's enough to be grateful and realize that he renews his mercies, that his love toward us has no equal, because, my beloved friend, we do not deserve anything. If we would receive things for what we do, I believe we will be the last ones in line, because there is no one good, not even one. The Bible says, the only way we can be good is through Jesus' life. He was genuinely good. I know that many times we are going to ask God for something, and often he's going to answer us not the way we were expecting. But we have to always understand that his answer is the best. Because every time that he surprises us in the best way. He is God. And therefore, even during the most critical times of our life, we will not be able to understand him. Nevertheless, he understands us. And he not only works on us because he understands us, but also because his love prevails. And in his love, we are alive today. His love always sustains us. Today, retaking this series, rethinking life, the way we have been reacting to our difficulties and to our everything, is very important to remember that we need to first see so we can notice what it is not in order that we need to improve, or using a second word, that we need to change. Change is necessary. Today, I am coming to talk to you about the importance of trusting the Lord, that the way he does things is better than ours. This is very important because how many times we tend to despair because we do not see things turning out the way we wanted them to turn out? And this happens because we like to have control of the situations. And when something slips out of our hands, when we lose control of something, we tend to despair, and it looks like everything is over. Likewise, when we want to have the control, God must show us that we cannot do things alone. I do not know if it has also happened to you that you want to do something a certain way, and you wait for God to open that door, because you already focused on it. But it turns out that it was not the door that God had for you, but another door which you did not see. Or you simply passed it by because you thought that the way it looked was not what you were looking for. And sometimes we judge because we already have prejudices. We already have ideas in our mind about how things should be. And this is where we fail. Instead of praying and implementing our faith while we are waiting for something to happen, so we would be waiting under God's foundation, we have our mind as a foundation, which is full of prejudices, of ideas, concepts. And we want things to happen that way. But it turns out that God teaches us that it's not going to happen that way. It is not like that. When you draw close to God, you must learn that many times His strategies are not going to be sustained by the idea you have about life. It is particularly important that we realize this because our ideas are what we must rethink. We are full of prejudices. When you look at someone, right away you judge him according to his condition. And the question is, why do we judge based on his condition? Because this is what was taught to us. If you are walking in the street and you see a person poorly dressed and a person badly presentable, the first thing you are going to say is, he's going to mug me, or I have to be careful. So you are gladly going to cross the street so you do not have to be next to this person. Why do we react in this manner? Because we already have prejudices in our mind. It is like that woman who was taken to Jesus because they caught her committing adultery and they wanted to stone her. They were full of prejudices. And when you are full of prejudices, you force your attention to focus on others instead than on you, because you consider others to be more sinful than you. Let me tell you, and forgive me for talking to you so strongly today, but the fact that others do not sin like you does not mean that they sin more than you. We are all sinners. And this is where God's great love and mercy are. They are evident in the midst of our numerous flaws. This is where He loves us, although we are imperfect. He is perfect, holy, three times holy. But He does not forget about us. At times, Jesus must remind us that he who is free of sin throw the first stone in judgment. I believe that every day we must remember this. I do not know if it has also happened to you that when a problem appears before you and you try to solve it by focusing on the problem, you realize that you do not find a solution. You feel frustrated and end up exhausted, thinking that there is nothing that can be done. It seems that we go completely blind. And this lack of light, this lack of vision, since we are only looking at the problem, makes us give up quickly. It has happened to you, right? I believe we all have gone through this. But what about if I tell you that giving up is not the option, because there is always a different way? We must rethink how we are living our life. When I was meditating about this, God was speaking to my heart, clearly saying, there are many things you need to rethink. There are many things that, as Christians, we still have to reflect on and rethink. Think things over, because when we go to the Bible, we realize that many of our decisions or actions are not in accord with what we learned from Jesus. They are in accord with what this world taught us. And I will always remind you that the Bible says, the world calls what is good bad, and what is bad good. Therefore, it is not a good starting point to be able to express a fair and coherent judgment. But the word of God is His truth, and it never fails. It never changes. And the Lord talked to my heart about various points that must be rethought. Jesus Christ is the foundation. There, nothing needs to be changed. He is everything. But we need to reflect on the way we receive, interpret, and manifest this new life we have received from God. The Apostle Paul used to say, "We already have the foundation, and nobody can change it. This is the true foundation, which is Christ. But what we must look at is how to rebuild ourselves over that foundation. We are talking about building, about arising, and about expressing our life. How do we express our life? By means of what we think, talk, and do in the circle in which we move. First, we start with our family. So we must begin to observe how we move about at home. We also need to rethink how our life has been with our friends and with our relationships. We need to rethink how our life has been, even more so during this time. How do we administer the resources that God places in our hands? How are we doing with our finances? And then we need to rethink how we have been living our life, how we have built up in our ministry or in our service to the Lord. These are things that we are going to be talking about in this series. The point I want to get to during this moment of counseling to you, my beloved friend, is to be able to understand that there is always a different way of doing things. That we, if we are not subjected to God, will never see. But if we are guided by the Holy Spirit, then our eyes will open, and together with the trial, we will see that the exit was always there. This understanding has also served me. It has served me well and has been good counseling for my own life. This man was born blind, and when God made the miracle, He first elaborated a strategy, a way of doing it, you know? And it was not done the way many were expecting to be done at that moment. Perhaps many were expecting Jesus to impose His hands on him, but He did not. Instead, He spit on the ground, made mud, and then rubbed it on his eyes. It seemed like an unorthodox, non-hygienic way. Imagine if we were in times of pandemic and Jesus would do it that way. Everyone would take a running, plunging into despair with prejudices, prejudging the manner in which God does things, because He does not do them the way we believe they should be done or the way we think they should be done. But God is always going to surprise us. God always has His way. And sometimes the only thing that God needs is not that we try to understand Him, but for us to be obedient. He knows, my beloved. I assure you that He knows what He's doing. So do not be afraid. Do not be frightened. He knows what He's doing. Just trust Him. Please, Just trust Him today. Wait a little longer. Do not lose your patience. Do not take off running. Wait. He's in control. And do you know that He was the one who told Moses, the only way is for you to extend your hand to divide the sea? The only way, Peter, to pay our taxes right now is that you throw your fishing pole into the sea, catch a fish. The first fish that you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a coin there. Use that coin to pay your taxes and mine. Do you notice that many times His ways are not normal, nor logic? But it is He who tells us to do it that way, and He's the owner of everything. For he who believes, everything is possible. Do you know why? Because it leads us to a trust that leads us to be, that trusts us to obey what He is saying, knowing that He is the owner of all things. And as He pleases to do, He does. And if He asks us to do it, because He already is in control, so then stop focusing on the problem and understand that there is always a way. Perhaps your thinking is limited and only makes you conclude that your marriage is over. But how about if I tell you that there is another way? How about if I tell you that we have to rethink the way we look at marriage? What are we doing to reclaim it? So far, the only thing we do is fight with each other, criticize each other, and point out each other's faults. Why don't we change the strategy? Why don't we use God's love, which should be implanted in our heart? And then we will see things through the love of God. There is always another way, my beloved friend. The biggest excuse, worthy redundancy, is to excuse ourselves that there is no way. But with God, in God, there is always a way. The question is, listen to me well. Are you willing to do it God's way? Many people have told me, I want to end my marriage. I want to end this or that. I have definitely done my part. My question has always been, have you really done your part to the limit? Have you allowed yourself to be intoxicated by God's love? And have you reacted under His love? Or is there some haughtiness and little humility that prevents you from recognizing that perhaps the change must start with you and not with others? There is always a way. This is the serious rethinking life. Father, thank you for your word and for what you teach us. You are faithful, and it is good when we can listen to your word, even though it makes us uncomfortable, but it is necessary. There is always a way, Father, and I pray for each person so they can understand that each decision we make will change our life, whether for the better or for the worse. How good it is when we make our decisions guided by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This was a translation of a devotional delivered by your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. He reminds you that God always arrives just in time.